Welcome back, you beautiful nerds. I am Wildfire One. You are watching and listening to Nerds the New Sexy Entertainment, the podcast. But with me today is
Laser Kid
and J-Mac.
Yeah. So,
and the J-Mac.
So this is episode, I think I said 168. And we're going to talk about something important. I know we've been kind of gone for the last 2 weeks. I've been kind of sick. Sinuses are a bitch, man.
Like, they are a bitch. Like, I concur.
Yes. Allergies, the fucking weather's changing, and God hates me.
That's the important thing.
The important thing that God hates me, yes. Yeah. But we wanted to, and I know this happened earlier in the month, and a lot of, and you probably, everyone's probably talked about it enough, but I really...
It was early in the week, I think.
Yeah, it was the first. It happened.
It was on the first, we didn't find out till the 11th.
Yes. But we're going to talk about Akira Toriyama.
Akira. Mm-hmm.
A lot of us grew up with this guy. Like, oh, yeah. Whether you know it or not, you grew up with this guy. If you've done Dragon Ball, if you've dealt with Dragon Quest.
Played a video game anytime in the last, like, 3 decades.
If you are aware of Chrono Trigger, one of the most, like best games out there, depending on who you ask. Ask me, I'll say it's the best game.
The Mario games were literally influenced by his work in Dr. Slump. If you have played a video game at all, you have Akira Toriyama to thank.
Yes.
Because he inspired Mario, which saved the entire video game industry from collapse.
Yeah.
Chrono Trigger. Mm-hmm. Chrono Trigger. I mean...
Dragon Quest, Blue Dragon.
He was a big part of probably your childhood without even knowing. I knew he's a big part of mine. I know, yeah. LK.
Oh, I'm a huge Dragon Ball nerd. It was one of the first things to talk about with you.
A lot of the Pokemon designs were inspired by the same, like, either Dragon Quest designs or very similar things as Dragon Quest designs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what we're getting to is he died. He passed away. We lost a legend on the 1st of
Absolutely.
March, and I know I posted this on our social media, but I don't feel like a one post is good enough for someone like this. Like, this guy was influential, and he had so much influence on my life, and just from his art, just from the things he did that I just feel like it's a definite mention. So, I mean, the whole idea was to talk about it in this podcast, at least a little bit. We'll go with J-Mac first. J-Mac, is there anything you want to say about Akira Toriyama?
I was fucking gutted when it happened. Like, it I just got my off heart. Work and, like, LK had told me, like, Akira Toriyama died. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And, like, I told literally everyone I knew, because, like, shit, man. Like, what the fuck?
What I did too.
Just like Kevin Conroy and some of the other, like, epic people that passed away in the past recently. Like, you don't expect it to happen.
He was old, but he wasn't that old. He was 68.
Yeah. Well, even then, like, it's just kind of like, we didn't expect it to go on be as quick.
Like, yeah, no, for real. Like, it was just, like, kind of out of nowhere. A lot of the outpouring for him has been wild. Like, more people have mourned his death than whoever.
That's what I wanted you to get to, by the way.
The death of the Queen of England.
Yeah.
Yep.
You have had entire nations, like El Salvador and stuff. Like the government of El Salvador posted saying the entire government is mourning his death. The president of fucking France.
When, like world leaders.
Mourning his death. Yeah, like, we have world leaders.
You got world leaders mourning the death.
Him as one of the greatest of all time.
Absolutely.
Like.
When they literally, when all they did with, when Queen Elizabeth died was, RIP.
RIP, too bad.
Yeah, RIP.
We sad for a second. Fucking, like, a week later, 2 weeks later.
Whereas most of the world used to be part of the English Empire, like, RIP, bozo, get fucked!
Oh, shit.
But like, for this, Akira Toriyama was such a significant part of every like culture all around the world. Like in Mexico, like Dragon Ball Z was huge in Europe, Mexico, Central America, South America,
everywhere.
You can go to just about anyone.
Even the Chinese government commented on it.
Yeah.
No, to make a point of this, they were bigger in those places that I mentioned than literally anywhere else. Like, because like there were restaurants like based on that theme.
Yeah. Because
You can't really do that because like that's copyright infringement, and like people are super afraid of that in the U.S. But like in those other places, like we don't care. We're doing it anyway.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
And
like just huge influences on everything across the world.
Well, let me ask you guys this, and then I'm gonna go to okay and see what he has to say about this. But how many people can you go to and go, hey, what was your first anime? And most people will say what? Dragon Ball Z.
Yes,
we'll say that.
Like, oh, and we're gonna do ethnicity here. It's not just like Caucasian people. It's African Americans. It's Asians. It's you name it. Everyone loves DBZ. Everyone loves Dragon Ball, and it's because it's a good story. It's just great. And so I wanted to put that out there. Like Akira Toriyama brought together the world in a sense.
Akira Toriyama. Without Akira Toriyama, we wouldn't have an anime market in the United States, straight up.
I gotta agree.
Dragon Ball and Toonami, there would not. Without Dragon Ball, there'd be no Toonami. And if you don't have Toonami blowing up, you don't have Adult Swim Action. If you don't have those two things, the anime market would be tiny, infinitesimal compared to what it is today. If you like anime today, you can thank Akira Toriyama.
Yeah. It would definitely be different.
Personally, he's touched my life a lot of ways. I'm a huge Dragon Ball nerd. Pretty much everyone that knows me knows that. Dragon Ball means the world to me. And it was really sad. It is what it is, but Akira Toriyama was a very private person.
Well,
very rarely got out in the spotlight. He didn't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually why it took so long for us to find out, is his family didn't want that information to go out. They had their own funeral and everything that was really closed. With close family and friends only, because that's the kind of man he was. He didn't want the crazy limelight. He wanted to just tell a story. He even admitted in an interview recently that, or not an interview, but a speech he wrote for a Lifetime Achievement in Animation Award that he was going to be getting this year, that he wrote his acceptance speech for. He felt guilty about it because he never even watched most of the Dragon Ball anime. He doesn't watch anime. He just wanted to tell his stories and draw fun things. That's just the kind of guy he was. He was a really chill, down-to-earth guy. And we lost one of the greats. The last time I felt the way I felt losing Toriyama was when we lost Jim Henson.
Jim Henson?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. I know that
it's an absolute visionary.
I know that the three of us were hit pretty hard. But I would say out of all the three of us, maybe you were hit the hardest.
It took me several days to get out of that funk. It took me several days. What hit me wasn't even immediately sadness. It's just this empty, not knowing how to feel about it, feeling there was definitely a sense of loss, but it took me a while to really get my emotions out, you know?
It's like losing a good friend that you knew your whole life.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, I got into Dragon Ball in 1995. I played Chrono Trigger in 1995. I was a 14-year-old. I'm 42. I'm going to be 43 later this year. Yeah. That's most of my life.
It's that's like I said, it's like a friend you've had for a long time. And it's sad. Kevin Conroy was a big hit for me.
That was a big hit for me too. Not to the same degree, but it was a big hit.
The guy who played Willy Wonka, I had his name a second ago. It's gone.
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder. Man. Gene Wilder, when he passed away, it really hit me hard. Even Tom Petty, as far, you know, going to music. But it's Akira Toriyama will be missed. And I'd like to think that his legacy is going to live on through the next series of Dragon Ball animations.
Dragon Ball Daima, the one that's coming out next, it was his baby. He was going to be directly involved. We know that they've made several episodes. It's going to be the closest to Toriyama's vision we've had since the 90s.
Well, I've heard. I've also heard that he picked a someone to take over for his work.
Yeah, Toyotaro.
Yes,
has been doing the Dragon Ball Super manga for the last while and has been his understudy. And the plan was always to pass it on to Toyotaro eventually, but that eventually is now.
Yeah, eventually happened a lot quicker. So
surprise! Way quicker.
Surprise! Yeah. One of the most heartbreaking things I read in his wake was Toyotaro's comment, which was, "I just wanted to make manga so that my sensei would say that I did good."
Oh wow!
And that's just, oh man.
Well, I mean, who doesn't want to impress the person that they feel is like,
is their teacher?
Yeah.
Well, and Toyotaro, for those that don't know, started off as a doujinshi artist. He started off under the handle of Toible, doing a manga version of Dragon Ball AF. Yes, that stupid, silly meme Dragon Ball series. He made a manga for it.
Hmm.
And that got him noticed. That's what got him into working with Toriyama to make the Dragon Ball Super manga, which originally was just adapting the Dragon Ball Super anime. But when the anime ended, Toyotaro kept going.
Yeah.
So there's plenty. Dragon Ball's not going anywhere. If you're worried about Dragon Ball, that's not the loss. We're gonna have Dragon Ball probably till the end of time.
Yeah, probably after I'm gone, that's for sure.
Oh gosh, absolutely. The sadness is losing an absolute visionary.
Yeah.
And I mean, gosh.
So yeah. With that said, guys, we'll give Akira Toriyama a Nerd is the New Sexy Entertainment moment of silence. Okay, moment's over. Good job. So that being said, we're going to move on to the actual topic. The actual topic is another anime. It's an anime that was adapted into a live action on Netflix, guys.
And I wonder what we could be talking about.
Yeah. I wonder.
Bebop, isn't it?
What's that?
It's Cowboy Bebop, isn't it?
Oh, goddamn. You were on that podcast, J-Mac.
I was on that podcast. Yes, I was.
Son of a bitch.
You know what it is? You know what it is? It's the Avatar, The Last Airbender. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't give you guys
I've heard
bad shit. I've heard bad shit.
I've heard that it's the equivalent of jingling keys in front of people who are fans of Avatar being,
oh my god, look,
Kyoshi Warriors, look, jingle, jingle, jingle. No.
look what we did. Anything has to be better than the movie adaptation.
I've heard it's better than that.
Yeah, no, yeah, but like literally a turd on the side of the road is
yeah,
the movie.
I mean, at least it's a fresh turd, right?
Fresh turd that doesn't have anything to do with Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Shyamalama Ding Dong. So no, we're going to talk about the one of the few adaptations Netflix did from an anime to live action that actually did good. And we're talking about One Piece.
Yeah. Who could have guessed that?
Where do we start? Like,
oh gosh.
Oh, we can start. So my parents, who are complete virgins to One Piece at all.
Okay.
I recently showed to them. Their my dad's first impression was like, just how incredibly contagiously positive Luffy is.
Oh, right? Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Honestly, okay. Let me start from the casting, honestly. The casting was immaculate. The people they chose for each of the characters were amazing.
I was a little worried about Yuffie. I was a little, my first impression was like, but then I saw him act.
Yeah, no, Iñaki Godoy as Luffy was perfect.
Oh, fucking yes. Great.
I don't know Nami's actor. I don't know Sanji's actor.
Were great. They were all great.
Makino as fucking Zoro.
He is Zoro. Him. You can't argue. Zoro.
We know him from the Rurouni Zoro. Not the Rurouni. The Rurouni Kenshi live action Japanese.
Yes.
Apparently he was really good there.
Which I haven't watched that either. I gotta watch that because I love Kenshi.
Chose him because he's popular in Japan, but also because he's just really fucking good with swords.
He's a badass. Like, he did such a good job.
You know, and what's great? Each of the actors, Luffy's actor took up sailing in real life now.
That's fucking cool.
Sanji's actor, learned how to be a chef.
Wow.
Dang. And like even cooked for the people on set at the for the show.
Damn.
He also learned and now teaches like martial arts and kickboxing and like capoeira.
Okay.
Zorro's actor has always been amazing with sword martial arts, apparently. But he had to learn how, like, they made a special prop sword for his mouth.
Yeah.
He had to learn how to use.
Because I imagine that would be uncomfortable as fuck, dude.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. He's talked about it. He said it was, yeah.
And they minimized the use of Suntoryu for that, probably for that exact reason.
Yeah. He said that his mouth would be cut up after those scenes, actually.
Oh, shit.
But he's like, I enjoyed doing them all the fucking time. He'd, like, talk about how his mouth was cut up, and he'd laugh, and everyone was like, what? And like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. His tongue's all like...
It's fine. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you know, he just needs a drink, see?
But yeah. going on from the casting was perfect, even for the villains.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, whoever they got for Arlong and for Buggy.
Buggy, dude, I was just about to say... Buggy, at first I was like, they really got to find someone great for him. And goddamn it, they did.
Two best casting, though. Got to go with Garp.
Okay.
The Scottish.
Chef.
Was amazing.
Yes!
They nailed them both. The two old men, they nailed them. And I was so happy they had a scene together.
So I really loved what they did with Kuro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His casting. Mihawk.
Yes.
Oh, God. That is Mihawk. Straight up. They just pulled out of the manga, gave him physical life.
King God, Mihawk.
I saw a drawing when this was new, and it's just like, Mihawk, I speak in curse.
I can't think of one character that I didn't like. Like, one actor.
Usopp was amazing.
Usopp was great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I am... Okay. I am so glad they didn't give him the long nose.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, the long nose in the manga was kind of like a Pinocchio reference because he's a liar.
Yeah.
A serial liar. A good-hearted liar, but a serial liar. Like,
that's part of his charm.
Yeah, but, like, I am so glad they didn't give him, like, a 6-inch long nose.
The prosthetic would have looked ridiculous.
It would have looked real weird if they had done that.
It would have been so bad.
It would have looked really ridiculous. It would have been
Shanks' actor was amazing. Every actor was amazing, and you could tell they all really wanted to be there and really wanted this to succeed.
And it was just they might have changed a few things, but even the things they changed,
yeah,
wasn't a big deal.
They treated it as a close note.
Yeah,
because Eiichiro Oda-san was working so heavily with them.
Yep,
and like he vetoed a lot of things, and then like he approved a lot of other things. To me, it feels like. The beginnings of One Piece, as he would tell it now that he's had these 25 years of experience that he's had.
I can see that.
Like, let me put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix, I'm talking directly to you. Okay?
Good luck.
Whatever you got, like, everything you did, everything that the notes and everything that, like, the cliff notes from the creator and everything, follow that! From every other fucking anime adaptation you do from here on out.
Please.
Never, ever, ever push another creator out again. Let Cowboy Bebop and now Avatar be your lessons.
Oh, let's not just stop at Cowboy Bebop. Death Note.
See, that one's so bad that I forget it exists.
Oh. There's only one good thing about Death Note. And there's the voice act. No, two good things about Death Note. It was the actor that played the Shinigami, yeah.
William Dafoe. Okay, that would be a great Ryuk.
He did an immaculate job on that. But like everything else was just like they took so much creative like power over this and it just fucked it up.
They gotta stop doing that. I did hear the Yu Yu Hakusho adaptation took out of One Piece. I hear they did a good job.
And that's another one I'll give a good mention to is Yu Yu Hakusho was amazing.
Yeah.
One Piece was just it was a masterpiece.
Yeah, it's like I literally have only one gripe and one way that I would write it differently, But like it is, it's so small, and it's like at the end of the, it's in the final arc of the anime, or not the anime, the show.
The show.
It was so minor, like it was like the showdown between the final showdown between Luffy and Arlong, and it's just like there were ways I would have had it done differently to make it more impactful. But even
I agree.
The way they did it was still like, I felt like when Arlong brought out his sword, it was just there for like a second for Luffy to break. I'm like, no, I would have rather like Nami run away and then Luffy and Arlong be talking while Arlong swinging that fucking sword around, like trying to fight Luffy and stuff, and then Luffy break it.
You know, like, well, Arlong
maybe talking about how the sword's unbreakable.
Elongated a little bit. Elongated, yeah, because it, yeah, it seemed like the fight was shortened.
No, like the, it was weird. What was weird to me in that scene was like the dialogue was really weird, because like he was just standing there with a sword while Nami and Luffy are just standing there, and then he swings the sword at Luffy, and then they're standing there again while they talk. And for that to be the worst part of the entire series, and yet still be fucking amazing and still hit the same emotional notes as him being like used and breaking the sword, like
oh man,
like that means it's an amazing show.
Yes. They did. They did an immaculate job.
Like they got Luffy's backstory in perfectly. I really enjoyed the added backstory of Helmeppo and Kobe.
Yeah,
that was some good stuff. Absolutely.
God, Helmeppo. God fucking damn, man.
Yes, I mean,
it was a little weird at the end where like Garp turned out to be testing the whole time. I felt like they could have alluded to that a little better.
Yeah.
But, like, at the same time. You know, it is.
What it is what it is. Yeah. It does feel like it was just kind of like rushed in that aspect.
Yeah. The special effects. We have to talk about those.
Oh, of course.
It's very impressive.
Most of the special effects were actually practical effects.
The best kind of effects.
Yes. Like
all the fishmen was makeup, basically, which is incredible. I was so expecting them to be like bad CGI, and then like especially we have all seen the god awful CGI that was Mr. Fantastic in every iteration of live action. Every iteration of Mr. Fantastic has been trash. Like, they just don't do the stretchiness right. Which is a large part of why I'm like, it's not going to work. Luffy, his whole personality is being the stretchy boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gum gum this, gum gum that.
They used like framing and camera angles and perspective so perfectly with a lot of his like stretchiness that it just worked. Even in like a couple moments where you could tell it was a little rough, it just worked.
And the actor hit like Luffy's attitude, his lucky, happy-go-lucky attitude perfectly. Yeah. Like
they changed events around. They changed story bits around.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Fair. But all of the characters behave the way they should in the given situations that they're throwing them. The important thing about this adaptation, the characters were done completely justified. Like there was nothing like, that fell out of character for any of them.
They rewrote the Captain Kuro scene as more of a slasher horror, which was really cool. Honestly.
Yeah, honestly. They made him
feel a little bit more terrifying in that regard, in my opinion.
Agreed, although it still very much felt like him.
Yeah, they solidified his deadliness too in killing the butler dude, or not the butler, the accountant.
Mary.
Poor Mary.
Because like in the anime, Mary survived. In the anime, spoiler alert: Mary survived in the anime.
No, spoiler alert. If you haven't watched One Piece and watched the live action, then something's fucking wrong with you.
At this point, it's your fault. If you're watching this and you haven't watched it.
How dare you, motherfucker!
He kills Mary. In this iteration, but like
a very brutal way too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, no, stabbing him through with all five fingers and pulling out, and then the glasses. It's like, oh shit!
Yep.
Is identical in the anime. In anime logic, he survives it.
Yeah, they kept all like the mannerisms of everyone, which was great. Like, because even without his glasses, you saw him adjusting his glasses like that in the live action. And it was kind of weird. They didn't do it as much, so like it's not as noticeable. But then it still was just as impactful when you see him do it, like when he's got the full glove on. He's like, ugh.
And Buggy. I keep going back to Buggy.
Oh gosh, Buggy!
Like you'd expect when you're talking about CGI, the moment where you see like his body parts
split apart. So good.
Like it looked good. I was expecting to cringe when I saw that. I was expecting to go, oh god, Netflix, why? Instead, I was like, holy shit, that looks good.
Yeah.
No, they like they really so CGI is better in low light. They really used the lighting to of a circus tent to their advantage.
Oh yeah, and that, especially in that aspect, it was very well done. And just Buggy in general, like as the character, the actor,
they gave him a more Jokery vibe here, and it was
cool. Yes, and maybe that's why I fell in love with him some more, because I could see the Joker in him, and I was like,
yeah. And it's also really no secret that Buggy is Oda's favorite character. Like, literally no secret. Oda is open about it, which is why Buggy is still so prominent. Every like you would think
Buggy is the luckiest man alive in that universe.
You would think he is one of the just some one-off character, but no, he appears. So I'm not gonna spoil anything. He appears so many times later in the story.
Oh yeah,
he does. And is incredibly relevant to how Luffy does things, and it's wild.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's very rare when I watch a live action adaptation to an anime, especially on Netflix, that I'm like, and it's happened twice with this and of course Yu Yu Hakusho. And I'm like, oh man, it's done. I want more. And this one.
You know, so LK and I watched it together, right? Uh-huh. I was like, LK, it just came out. You and I are watching this. You don't get a say in the matter.
Like, I'm going to argue with watching One Piece.
You're not arguing with me anyway. Watch it.
Duct tape your eyes open. You're going to fucking watch this.
I'm going to put you in that clockwork orange machine where it props your eyes open.
No, it's Netflix One Piece. I don't want to watch it. Oh, that's actually good. What the heck?
Yeah, honestly, like that is the natural reaction to typically any Netflix anime live action.
Yes. Why? So... But my point is I watched it and I didn't want it to end. I wanted more.
Yeah, like, no, I wanted to see where it goes.
Like, Axe Hand Morgan was great. Like, they even did his metal jaw really well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was very impressed.
And we talk about the ship design.
The Going Merry? Yes.
The Going Merry, the Baratier, all of the ships. Just
speaking of the Going Merry. So the music is largely an original score. I don't know the composer's name, but I forget. I looked it up like yesterday, and then I promptly forgot because I have ADHD.
It's all good.
I looked at the composers, and it's all an original score, except for one and maybe two songs. Two songs if you're really paying attention. that song in the first episode.
I didn't hear it the first time, and I heard it the second time. I went,
one song, though. The biggest, most, recognizable song.
Yep, we are.
So they've just gone through all this stuff, and they've kind of... So had they played it at the beginning, it would have been very much of a, hey, remember this song from the anime? Look, here's that song. Hey, remember it? Here's that song.
Not gonna lie, marks like me would have gone, yeah, we are. But otherwise, it wouldn't have been.
Yeah, no, you are largely the mark, LK.
I know. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
He's not a fan of One Piece. He fucking hates One Piece. One Piece is stupid.
I don't have over 800 episodes on DVD. I don't know what you're talking about.
One Piece is only your number one favorite anime.
Oh, yeah.
After the Kuro arc, they get the Going Merry, and like he names it that in honor of Merry because he's dead now.
Yeah.
And, like, they're honoring him. And then they set sail, and you hear... Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, which was kind of an epic moment.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they unfurl the sails and it's just like,
I get jinglies all throughout my body.
When it happened, I kid you not, he teared up.
I did. It's true. I absolutely did tear up.
It's a moment. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, LK absolutely fucking was nearly crying in my
it felt
I was like, oh my god,
that moment was comparable to me to when I watched the Netflix anime version of Castlevania when they did Bloody Tears.
Yes, it's very much like that.
It was very comparable because when the moment they did that, and they didn't do the normal bloody, they did the rock Bloody Tears with a heavy metal. Yeah. And I about creamed my pants when I saw that. And it was that's the same feeling I got with One Piece.
Look, I actually jizzed a bit when that one came, when this song came up.
It was good. It was very good.
I had to do a little bit of laundry after that night.
But you know, let's go back to the music. You were saying that the two scores, the audio in this fucking, like, this series is great.
Yeah, no, like for it being an original score, you would think like it was exactly what it needed to be for a live action adaptation.
Absolutely.
It felt very much like Pirates of the Caribbean meets whatever the hell One Piece's music is.
Yeah. When something was scary, they had this creepy vibe to it. When something was something that wanted was like heart pulling at your heartstrings, they had that.
Where you'd see Kuro just like do his weird like turn and like weird smirk. Or like and his two minions like stalking through the hall. That gave me chills, man.
Buggy in the circus tent.
The music made it work.
Like all the minions look good. Everything looked good. I mean, what was the female villain from the first episode?
Elvita.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Even she was great.
Perfect. They nailed her.
Because wasn't she a big lady in the anime?
She was huge.
It didn't seem like she was as big, but I still liked it.
Right. They got her, like, she wasn't as big, but her personality was big.
Yes, her personality was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so Elvita was such a small, insignificant character in the original.
Yeah.
In the beginning, which the episode one was... Episode one was not whatever episode later she becomes significant. Episode one was the beginning.
Okay.
Yes, I agree.
In the beginning of One Piece, even the manga and the anime, she was such an insignificant, meaningless character. She was literally a fat lady who gets beat up.
Yeah.
I see it.
They gave her such a huge personality in this version.
I think it was great.
Her like manga and stuff. Like she was clearly a narcissist in those versions too.
Yes,
yeah.
Like, you know, they took her and cranked her up.
Like, oh, to like 20. It was great.
Yeah.
So let's do it. Let's do this. Rate the anime.
10.
8.
Well, okay, 9.
I would give it a 7. I'm not as big as a fan as you guys, but I still love it.
Damn good.
Rate the live action.
8.5.
Wait, the other one was the anime, not the
yeah, the first one was the anime.
Sorry, 10 then, yes.
Okay,
then
so
this would be my 8.
Okay. So what did you give it, J-Mac?
I gave the anime a 9. The early anime that this season was adapting, I'd probably give it like a 7, 8.
The early parts I'd probably give an 8.
Okay. 7, and for the live action, I give a 10.
Oh my god,
that should tell you something.
Should I give an 8? But it's still.
I give the live action a 9, compared to like the stuff it was adapting. It's definitely better in my opinion.
I honestly it was entertaining. Everything seemed good. Plus, plus I might have went into it with really low expectations because.
We all did.
Because yeah, Netflix.
No, being an anime, it being a net. A Netflix live action anime adaptation set the bar below the ground. Honestly,
yeah, I was almost like I went into it going, oh god, do I really want to watch this? Because
I was dreading that we were going to have another conversation like we did about He-Man.
I was just going to say that, like I was expecting another He-Man.
Circling back to One Piece, because
yes, please.
Yes.
There was one other criticism I had, and I've actually shared this with LK before. Nami's betrayal of the crew.
Yeah. I can get where you're going. Go on.
I think their biggest mistake was releasing it all at once.
They rushed it.
Had they released it an episode at a time, the entire... like those in the know would not spoil it. I don't think, hopefully. They'd better not have. Or... you're not real fans of One Piece. Had it come out episode by episode, people, like the people who don't know about it, would have had a week to stew in Nami's betrayal of Luffy to Arlong.
I think that the depiction where they fucked up on this is that they only had so many episodes to work with, as opposed to the anime.
If they had literally just one or two more episodes, it would have been a 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
Probably.
Even so, they nailed all of the emotional beats that they needed to. But okay, the one moment that I was sitting there like biting my nails, hoping they would get right. Luffy, help me. Where Nami is on the ground, and everything is shit's fucked. People are going to die because Arlong is just that evil.
Yep.
And Nami at this point is helpless to do anything about it. And she has realized her helplessness. And she's just there. And Luffy just comes up to her unprompted. Even after she told him to go away. And she just, in tears, says, Luffy, help me.
By the way.
And he puts his hat onto her.
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
by the way.
So perfectly.
By the way, in the anime, that gave me the exact same feels it gave me in the live action.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. Yes.
I was tearing up. I was about ready to fucking cry.
Yeah, it was so good.
I did cry.
He cried a lot.
You know what? It's okay to get emotional like that.
I do that. I do that.
Okay, the framing of the scene after that where it has Luffy very angrily walking forward and like it pans to like Sanji and then Luffy's in the background walking forward and Sanji just like throws a cigarette to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And like they all just like start they did the crew walk.
They did do the crew walk.
A lot of people will say they didn't, but they did.
I think
it's very impactful in manga and anime the way they did it in manga and anime, but this isn't manga and anime, this is live action.
Yes.
And because of that, the way they did it is more impactful.
Yeah, no, like a lot of people fail to understand that the live action is a different medium.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like,
stuff you can get away with as opposed to stuff you can't get away with.
A small handful of people who were nitpicking shit and just like, look, this is the single greatest adaptation we've had of all time. It is nearly perfect.
Oh, you know what?
Are you really going to nitpick it and risk Netflix not renewing it?
You know what? This is what I say to those people. You have a problem with that? Go watch Cowboy Bebop.
Yes.
Serious. Like,
absolutely.
Go, if you have a problem with it done right, go watch it done wrong.
Yeah.
Again, Netflix, follow what you did with One Piece.
Yeah.
Please. If you're going to do this shit, do it right. Don't do it.
What's great about it is that Oda himself is the one who made the announcement that it had been renewed for a second season already.
Yeah.
Within, okay, here's the
Which
thing.
Which was my next question to you, so thank God you answered that.
It was within like 2 weeks of the show's original airing that like the second season was confirmed.
The telling of the backstories, the storytelling in general, even when it was different from the original, was well done.
Yeah, no, and okay, one of the main themes in it was it was touched on the first episode, and people who are paying attention will know. One of the things that a lot of people miss is in episode two, episode one, first of all, is like where Luffy says to like where Kobe's like having kind of an existential crisis because he wanted to be a Marine all this time, and he just saw like these Marines treated a child like absolute dog shit.
Yeah.
And that like the pirates are the ones defending this child from the Marines. And Luffy said to him, well, if there's good pirates and bad pirates, then there's good Marines and bad Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an emotional scene at the end of the show between Kobe and Luffy where it's like, be a good pirate and be a good Marine.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just a callback to that. But like the whole show, the whole season is about what it means to be a good pirate versus a bad pirate and what it means to be a good Marine versus a bad Marine as well.
Yeah.
Like in episode two, it really illustrates that because Nami hates pirates because mm-hmm. she's only ever been with bad pirates.
Yes.
And then like when Luffy frees all the people in like the circus and they're like, wait, so are you our new captor? He's like, no, you're free. He's like, you're a pirate, aren't you? He's like, I'm not that kind of pirate. I'm a good pirate.
I'm a good pirate.
I'm a different kind of pirate.
Yeah, I'm a different kind of pirate. And like Nami just looks up like as if she has just seen a ghost. like what the fuck did I just hear?
Like the fuck you just said? It's good. I highly recommend mm-hmm. you guys listening
absolutely.
To watch this.
If you haven't watched it by now, why the hell are you watching this video?
Yeah. It's like, go watch it and watch the rest of this. You know what
get
I mean?
Get off here and go to Netflix.
Yeah, because it's worth that. It's worth it. It's a very good show.
I could go on forever and ever about this.
We could. We should probably end the podcast.
Yeah, we could go in circles about all night.
With that, guys, we're going to end the episode. Thanks for watching. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week when we do another podcast. So then we want you to stay nerdy, stay sexy.
Always.
Just a quick test, guys. Would you talk for me?
Penis. Boobies.
Okay. Oh my God. Penis and boobies. There's some bonus content right there.